Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in the book of James, chapter 1. We'll start in verse 2 and read through verse 18. This is God's word. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We talked last time about the fact that it is necessary for us to go through various kinds of trials. Everybody goes through it. The question is, do we rejoice as we should when we're going through trials? Today, we want to talk about the fact that God says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God for wisdom, and he will provide it, provided that you are not double-minded. Well, okay, I guess I must be double-minded then. What's the problem? Well, here's what it's talking about when it's talking about being double-minded or doubting. It's doubting that God's way is the best way. In other words, if I want God to tell me what to do so that I can decide whether or not that's a good plan, I should not expect to receive wisdom from God. But if I want God to tell me what to do because I'm eager to do his will, God will do whatever is necessary in order to make his will clear. If anyone lacks wisdom, notice the word anyone. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It doesn't say, now, some of you may be able to qualify for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. You can speak to God. You're his child. Talking here to believers, talking to Christians, not talking to everybody in creation. But believers, God's children, can come to him directly through Jesus Christ on the authority of what Jesus has done and told us. Jesus said, ask the Father. You don't have to ask me. Ask the Father. So we come to the Father in Jesus' name and we say, Father, I need to know what you want me to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and God gives generously to all. He'll generously give wisdom. And he'll do it without finding fault. God doesn't say to us when we are wanting to do his will, well, I can't believe you don't know this. You can't figure that out for yourself. If we are eager to do the will of God, God will give generously, and one of the translations says, and upbraideth not. In other words, God won't rebuke you for asking. God's not going to say, well, that's a dumb question. You must be dumb. God will generously give us wisdom without finding fault. Isn't that wonderful? He's our Father. He loves us. If we're eager to do his will, he will give us as much direction as we need. He'll use whatever means is necessary. Think about some of the people in Scripture to whom God gave direction. An angel came and appeared to Mary. That's pretty dramatic. Well, yeah, it was very unusual, extraordinary, unprecedented. What about Joseph? Well, he got a dream. That's different. But God knew how to speak to each of them. What about Peter? He saw a vision. It was a vision that was hard for him to understand, and God repeated it three times because he needed it three times. That's okay. God didn't just do it once. God did it as many times as necessary in order to confirm a difficult thing for him to hear. God doesn't mind doing that. The double-minded person here is a person who's not sure he can trust God. So if you have doubts about yourself, you're not sure, you think you might get it wrong, what if I make a mistake? That's not being double-minded. The double-minded person is a person who says, well, I know God says this, but I'm just not sure that's smart. I know God says this, but I don't think I want to do that. I know God says this, but that would be really difficult. That could cost me dearly. I don't think I want to do that. That's being double-minded. But if you trust God to always get it right, then God will do whatever it takes to show you what he wants you to do. And if you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, there are some things in the Scripture that are very clearly spelled out. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Work on those things. Work on what you know from God's Word. I know I'm supposed to do that. That I will do. Okay? So, but do I turn right or left? Well, if you're not sure which way to go, why don't you pull over to the side for a moment and just have a hallelujah breakdown? Just start rejoicing in how good God is, how great he is, how much he's done for you. The fact that he loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he sent his son to save us. Wow, isn't that tremendous? I was headed for hell. I deserved it. And God rescued me and gave me eternal life. Now I'm going to heaven. I have an inheritance that cannot pass away. It is reserved in heaven for me. He is keeping me for that day. I'm going to be just like him, and he's in the process of changing me to be like him. That's a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am so grateful. And while you're doing that, somebody may come along and knock you into the right way. Just trust God. He'll do what it takes. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God will give you the wisdom you need. He'll tell you as much as you need at the time. Between the time God told us to start a children's home and the time that God gave us the land to start the children's home, over 20 years. We had to wait all that time, over 20 years. And then God said, now's the time. And suddenly I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm ready. And God said, I've told you what to do. Do it. So I did. My precious wife said, you know, I've wanted to do this and I've always been willing to follow you wherever you feel God's telling you to go, but this would be a really good time for God to confirm this for me. And I said, well, what would it take to confirm it? You know, we're about to walk away from a paycheck to potentially no paycheck at that point. She said, grocery money would be nice. And I said, well, how much grocery money? And she said, I don't know, 6 months? And I said, okay, well, what do we spend on groceries in 6 months? And she named a number. I said, okay, Father, my wife is willing to follow wherever I lead, and I'm determined to go where you're saying to go. I believe you want us to move to Tennessee and start the children's home. But it would be a wonderful thing if you would just confirm for her that this is indeed your leading. So if you would please give us this much money, then we'll know. I said, meanwhile, I'm going to go ahead and resign from the church. So I told the chairman that morning. And before supper, God had given us that amount of money. From one individual, in an envelope, in cash. And he said when he gave it to me, I want you to understand, he knew nothing about the prayer on the way to the church. He said, I want you to understand, this is not for the church. This is for you personally, you and your family. And it was the exact amount we prayed for that morning. Sometime later, that man heard the story of what had happened and the prayer, and he cried. And he said, after I called you and asked you to come to my house because I had something to give you, God told me to change the amount. And he said, and I didn't know why, but I changed the amount. I did not have the heart to ask him if it was more or less. But you see, the thing is, more would not have been as good as the exact amount. Sometimes when we're seeking to do God's will, it really gets tough and we're not sure and things come and test our resolve. But God is faithful and God will do whatever it takes to give us the direction and the confirmation in the right time when it's needed. Now, verse 9 and following. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. Well, that sounds silly. If you're in humble circumstances, you ought to be proud of your high position. What does that mean? It means that a totally impoverished person in a prison cell being persecuted for their faith, who looks like they've had everything stripped away from them, is actually in a glorious position. Because even though temporarily they are suffering, they are guaranteed eternal bliss and riches beyond anything in this world. So, whatever difficulties you're going through, you have every reason to rejoice. Because God has elevated you from the ash heap and made you his dear child. If you are a child of God, it says the brother in humble circumstances. It doesn't say, you know, and as for all the poor in the world. No, it's talking about a Christian who is in humble circumstances. If you are a brother in Christ, you may find yourself in a position of poverty temporarily or wealth temporarily. Because it not only says the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who's rich should take pride in his low position. The one who is rich should take pride in his low position. Well, I'm rich. Yeah, but you don't understand what's going to happen to you. He will pass away like a wildflower, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. What does that say? That says if you have wealth in this world, if you have money, it's temporary. If you are rich, you need to understand that in the great scheme of things, you're in a low position. If you are poor, you need to understand that in the grand scheme of things, you are still in a high position. In other words, don't be focused on your temporary circumstances in this life, because they are temporary. Our health, our money, all of that stuff, temporary. It's temporary. So, in the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What's the most important commandment? What's the number one thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is where it starts. Everything else radiates from there. And God has promised, he has promised a crown of life to those who love him. Then, when tempted, verse 13, no one should say, God is tempting me. No one should say, God is tempting me. Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That temptation is not from God. Jesus taught his followers to pray, lead us not into temptation. If you are finding yourself in the midst of temptation, one thing you can count on, it's not from God. Don't blame God for the temptation you're facing. Each one instead is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Boy, that's a picture. First of all, by his own evil desire. Pastor Wood, I've heard you teach on temptation before, and you make it sound as if a lot of our temptations are really an attack of the enemy. Oh, that's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But you know, we not only have the devil out there, and we not only have the world out there, we've also got the flesh right here. And all of us have ungodly desires that wage war against our soul. And we have to learn to put those things to death. We've got to die to fleshly desires. Now, it doesn't say we've got to die to desire. It's not wrong to have desires, but there are some desires that are wrong. And when those desires rise up, we've got to say no to them. We can't just do what feels like it would feel good. I was meeting with someone yesterday, and we were talking about the fact that there are a lot of people in our culture today who think that because they are attracted to members of the same sex, it ought to be okay for them to go ahead and give in to those temptations. And I was explaining why that is not only contrary to the Word of God, it is contrary to any sort of intelligent reasoning. I said, let's suppose that I have a desire to punch people in the face when they offend me. Wouldn't it make sense for me to just go ahead and punch people and say, well, you know, I'm just being true to my feelings. You know, that's what I'm just kind of wired that way. When somebody upsets me, I just want to punch them in the face. No. All of us are going to have desires, and some of them are going to be sinful desires. And when we have sinful desires, we have to be careful because they can get hold of us and drag us. Look at that imagery. They can drag us into sin. The temptation is not a sin, but the temptation leads to sin, and sin produces death. And you don't want to go there. That's what God's saying to us. We're tempted when by our own evil desire we're dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. There's a process. Remember David up on the rooftop? looks and sees Bathsheba taking a bath, which is okay. It's okay for her to be taking a bath. It's okay for him to inadvertently see it. He didn't go out on the rooftop in order to watch her take a bath. He went out on the rooftop, and from there he was able to see something that he had no business looking at. When he saw that, he could have turned away. But instead, he asked his servants, "Who is that woman?" And they said, "She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Now at that point, he could have said, "Okay, off limits." Instead, he said, "Bring her to me." He moved from temptation to lust to full-blown adultery. It's a progression. And you see, some of us think that as long as we don't go all the way with things, then it's okay. It's okay for me to fantasize about stuff that God says is wrong. Well, it's not. If a thought comes to you, you've got to say, "God forbid, no, get thee behind me, Satan." You turn away from the temptation, because otherwise that temptation is going to conceive and grow and give birth to sin. And then, just as surely as sin was produced, it's going to lead you to death. The wages of sin is death. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You need to know, and I need to know, what God is like. Every good thing comes from God. Don't fear that if you follow God and do His will, you're going to miss out on the good stuff. That's the lie that the devil tries to tell us. God knows that if you eat that fruit, you'll become like Him. Well, it is pleasing to the eye and good for food and could make me wise, really? That's not where you get wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. God will give generously without rebuking you for having asked. But you need to understand that if you follow God, you will not miss out on anything good. If you don't follow God, all the stuff you thought was so wonderful is going to end up leaving you with a mouthful of gravel. You don't want to go there. You do not want to go that way. Sin produces death. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And God doesn't change. God doesn't change like shifting shadows, and His law does not change. There are people out there right now who are saying, "Well, you know, times have changed, and we just need to realize that if Jesus were alive today, He would approve of same-sex marriage and things like that." Well, first of all, Jesus is alive today, and He doesn't approve of same-sex marriage. I just talked with Him a little while ago. Okay? God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And we need to understand that God is true to His Word, and He gives us good gifts. He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. In other words, God is the one who gave us faith. He is the one who gave us salvation. It is because of His grace. It's not something we accomplished. God chose to give us birth through the Word of truth so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. In other words, God has a plan for you to be something that gives Him delight. That's great news. That gives me confidence. Because my confidence isn't in me. My confidence is in Him. He's the one who started the work, chose to give us new birth, and He is the one who will complete the work and make us first fruits for Him. That's beautiful. That's a reason to rejoice. Do you need wisdom? Ask the Father. He's your Father. He loves you. Don't be afraid to ask. And know that when He tells you what to do, it's going to be the best thing for you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.